"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-6900. 691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we help every step of the way. We're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities than ever before. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each person individually. And for organizations, LHH provides consultant support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process, understanding the sensitivity and impact on your team. The world is full of new possibilities, and we help both organizations and individuals realize the possibility of what's next. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com. That's LHHtalent.com to get in touch with an outplacement consultant today, because everyone and every organization could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. LHH, helping you every step of the way. Visit LHHtalent.com.
Welcome on in. Let's roll. I hear the paper shuffling. We have a new king of Twitter. The big story this afternoon: Elon Musk took out his checkbook, $44 billion to buy up all the shares, Twitter, promising a new era of free speech. I don't go on Twitter, but I'm aware that
most people don't.
Contention about
it's a very tiny fraction of America that actually tweets on Twitter.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, I'll get the numbers. You'd be shocked, like, how small the percentage is of people who actually tweet. People have accounts, but very few use them.
The number they put out is 217 million monetizable daily active users per its latest corporate filings.
217 million, and now that's
worldwide, though, right? Or are they not outside the?
Well, I tell you, from what I've read, it is something like 6% of the tweeters account for 80% of the tweets.
I remember you mentioned that.
Yeah, you take the 6% of that 217 million, and most of them are young and female and very left wing. So
is that right?
the whole thing is cockeyed way to the left.
Celebrities, isn't it?
Yeah, just promoting.
It's a way for people to follow famous people somehow, I guess.
Nah, it's mostly to promote stuff. Oh. It's people promoting their
Johnny Kent's
their careers.
Clear. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I don't know if that does any good, but
yeah.
But no, I'm serious. I think what it does is builds a profile for a lot of writers because they argue with each other on Twitter. That's mostly what it's used for. They insult each other. They debate each other over nonsense.
Well, at 140 characters at a time, you have to
most of them are pretty shorter than that. Yeah, it's 280 now.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not what I heard this morning. One analyst said it's basically a garbage business because when you compare the hundreds of billions of dollars that Google and Facebook take in compared to relative pennies for Twitter, there isn't a whole lot of money in there at all, and it's not that widely used compared to Google and Facebook. It just gets an outsized amount of attention because there are a lot of celebrities and political people on it, and the news media finds it a cheap. Really cheap, lazy way to cover people in the news. Oh, so-and-so tweeted this. But there isn't a whole lot of value in it. And they don't sell much advertising compared to the size of the audience they have.
Well, if somebody paid me $44 billion for a company I started in 2007, I consider that a pretty good investment.
Yeah, but it's tiny compared to the other social media. And it is a small number of people who tweet a lot. Right. Oh, and a lot of them are bots. Like, there's a huge percentage that are fake tweets.
Yeah, I thought they
tweets.
Were cleaning that up. But
no, they haven't. In fact, one of the things Elon Musk says is he's going to finally take on the bot problem.
Because
and the
it
bots...
says in the story that at one point they were claiming 300 million users, but now they whittled it down to actual daily users is 120 million. So
there's nothing more inflated than tweet statistics. It's like one of the big lies of the modern era.
So the money, I mean, they're claiming their revenue was 1.4 billion in 2014. Now it's over 5 billion. That's also a pretty good jump.
Yeah.
But they only booked a profit in 2018 and 2019. They've lost money the past 2 years. So That's a lot of expenses to be losing money if you're taking in $5 billion. Wow.
Like Facebook's revenue was $117 billion.
Yeah.
You see? So,
If you're going to compare them to the other social media giants, but still, in and of itself, it's still a sizable company, and that's a lot of money.
I'm saying the stock actually hasn't moved much since it went into... Google's revenue $257 billion. So I'm saying is in the space, it's considered a minor player.
Yeah, but in the world of social media, which there are so few players, it's pretty good to be a player. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of players. So, you know how many people would love to break into this and cannot? Look at Trump's social media company. I don't think that's doing anything right now. It's valued right now at around $54 a share. It was $39 a share just before Musk got interested in the company. So obviously that always drives up the share price as people try to get in there to see if they can make something when the company is sold. But well below the company's stock high was $77 a share last year. And we all believe he did this because he doesn't, think it's too woke? Is that what he's doing?
Well, what they do is they actively suppress conservative tweets and conservative tweeters, and they amplify woke tweets and woke tweeters, yeah.
Well, they threw Trump off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good example. Like, the Ayatollah had an account. So the terrorist organizations around the world have accounts, but they threw Trump off.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that a few years ago, that there were all sorts of terrorist people who were posting stuff about killing, and they left them alone, pretty much.
Yeah, here it says, for the fewer than a quarter of U.S. adults use Twitter, making it one of the least used of the top social media platforms. Of those who are on Twitter, a mere 10% account for the vast majority of tweets, 80%. So yeah. 10% at 22% is 2%. So you have 2% of the country responsible for 80% of the tweets. The other 90% of the tweets of tweeters use it maybe twice a month. It's heavily weighted towards the hyper political,
right?
Or people in various businesses promoting their careers or products or whatever.
Right. So what's he going to do with it? Is he going to just? He said he's going to try to get rid of.
I don't know. This is guys who were
talking about a few weeks ago was what, the edit button.
It's guys who get very rich and bored.
I'm just more curious why he took this up then. I mean, there's so many other companies and other things he could do. He clearly has had some bug up his end about Twitter.
Yeah. If you take him at his word, he's pissed off on how they squash free speech. I think the New York Post Hunter Biden story was probably a tipping point because you could see clearly how they took a story that was very negative towards Biden and his family and they suppressed it. And that could have changed the election.
Yeah, they weren't the only ones, though.
But I know. But because they see, the social media is a good workaround from regular media. When regular media decides to suppress something, you can spread this through social media very effectively, unless social media is in on the suppression. Which, as we found out, that's what's been going on the last few years. You not only have regular media, but you have social media, and they're all lined to suppress the other viewpoint. The unwoke viewpoint.
Now the question becomes, does he get more Twitter people, clients, or do they drop out after the takeover becomes complete?
Maybe he, who knows if he's in it for money? I mean,
I don't know that he is. I think you're right. It's a personal thing to him that he thinks he can do better with it than the management has.
I mean, I would find it entertaining if I had $300 billion to shut down some annoying parasite like Twitter. And their stupid woke ideology. I would want to do it just for fun. It'd be worth the $40 billion or $50 billion to me.
Yeah.
Just do it because you can.
All right. When we come back, we both noticed a story this morning that, it merits a bit of a discussion. And it actually happened during the show on Friday. And it does actually happen from time to time. Somebody burnt themselves to death. Yep, they set themselves on fire. Coming up next.
John and Ken, KFI.
These things actually were happening during the show. But the one that got most of the attention, obviously, because it was a gunman who opened fire in a neighborhood in Washington, the northwest section of Washington, D.C. Everything had to lock down. He eventually was later found dead. Four people were shot in that incident, but not much later in the day, I think it was 6:30 East Coast time, during our show, something else happened that's actually happened before, as unusual as it is. A person set themselves on fire outside the United States Supreme Court, and they died. This was a plaza in front of the court building. His name, we have found out, is Wynn Bruce, 50 years old, from Boulder, Colorado. Why would somebody burn themselves to death in front of the United States Supreme Court? Well, he is a climate activist, and they are actually hearing a case dealing with the EPA and the climate, and I guess that's why he picked.
Now,
also, Friday was Earth Day.
When you set yourself on fire, you are sending your carbon into the atmosphere. You're actually adding more warming gases to the planet. So I thought that was like violence towards the planet that he committed.
It would not seem a logical way for someone that is a climate activist to try to get attention.
You know what's funny?
And that's what they're saying this is. Not a suicide, not a protest. Well, almost like they're describing it, and these would be friends of his, as a sacrifice.
It is suicide.
World.
When you set yourself on fire and you die, that's a suicide. Everybody's got a reason for suicide. His was, you know, protest over the climate, but all he did is release his carbons into the atmosphere. So I don't know how that helped.
Well,
and what does he think, that the world's gonna stop? Like I was supposed to park my car for the day?
He apparently was a Zen Buddhist priest.
Yeah.
Or a Zen Buddhist. I'm talking about a friend. Apparently, Kritki Kenko has been interviewed, is a climate scientist at something called the Environmental Defense Fund, and a Zen Buddhist priest in Boulder. said she is a friend of Mr. Bruce, and it was a planned act of protest. This act is not a suicide, she wrote on Twitter. This is a deeply fearless act of compassion to bring attention to climate crisis. But this has happened before. A couple of other people have done the same thing for the same reason. I don't know that it moves the needle.
And the thing is, all his wacky friends, they don't want to admit that all he did was kill himself. And this is, he just wasted his life, which is fine. It's his life. If he wants to do that, go right ahead. But the amount of euphemisms being used here, and all this circular, semi-spiritual way of explaining this, he was insane. There isn't a single thing he could do to stop global warming or climate change. There's nothing he can do about the way modern life exists. Nothing. And so he's all pissy and frustrated, and he decides, all right, well, I'll show everybody. I'm going to set myself on fire. It's like, whoop. Now what? Now he's a pile of ashes, and what's the accomplishment here? I mean, it's just...
I would doubt he had a family, since he wouldn't want to leave kids behind in this manner. But
so this this person, Kriti Kanko,
that you mentioned, she's a doctor.
She says, "Get this, okay? Now this is this attitude is the definition of a cult. People are being driven to extreme amounts of climate grief and despair. Who? Her friend?"
Extreme amounts of stories every now and then about people are really anxious about the climate. We've covered them. They do exist. The New York Times loves to interview them.
You ever meet one?
No.
No, I haven't either.
No, in the hundreds of conversations I might have over the course of a month, this doesn't come up.
My wife and I used to go to a lot of plays, especially before the pandemic. And the one a few years ago, I've been tracking how woke garbage infiltrates and infests all the art forms. And the first one of the early plays that I just found, it's like, oh my God, if this is the way it's going, I'm not going to theater anymore, was a play about a young couple based in the valley here, and they were all full of angst and despair over whether they should raise a child while climate change was going on.
Yeah, that's real. I've seen those interviews with people that feel that way.
Yeah, and my advice is don't, please, okay? Because obviously you two are nuts, and you're going to raise a neurotic mess of a child, so why don't you just, like, reel it in, pull it out, snip it off, whatever you have to do. Don't go reproducing, because you're completely out of your mind, and the same thing here.
Yeah, and I like the way this woman, Dr. Kritke, said she's concerned. What I do not want to happen is that young people will start thinking about doing this because of what Mr. Bruce did, which is weird. I don't think we're going to see a rash. Well,
but she called it a deep...
Not like we see horrible mass shootings or something.
But the thing is, she wrote that this is a deeply fearless act of compassion. So she's praising it on the one hand, and then she says, well, I don't want to see other people do it.
Well, maybe that is a contradiction.
So, I mean, well, which is it? Is it a deeply fearless act of compassion, bringing attention to the climate crisis, which, by the way, we haven't heard enough about, right? That's one thing that's, but it's been a little short of climate crisis awareness in this country. Hardly ever comes up anymore.
Apparently, Mr. Bruce was, he read a lot about monks who burned themselves, especially Vietnamese monks burned themselves to death in protest during the Vietnam War.
Isn't that funny, though? Because it's Vietnamese monks, people go,
yes,
Zen Buddhism,
something and
mystical.
Spiritual and higher life form about it, yes.
Nobody stops to think, it's like, wow, that is a crazy religious cult. They get all worked up over nothing, and then they burn themselves to death. Who would want to join that? What kind of lessons would you get from that crowd?
To burn oneself by fire is to prove that what one is saying is of the utmost importance. There is nothing more painful than burning oneself. To say something while experiencing this kind of pain is to say it with utmost courage, frankness, determination, and sincerity. There you go.
Now,
that's what one Vietnamese monk wrote about the people who burn themselves.
Yeah, I'm not... This guy on Facebook had put a comment including the date of his planned self-burning with a fire emoji. Apparently, they have an emoji on Facebook that when you announce that you're going to burn yourself to death,
no.
You can put out the emoji.
No, it's just a fire. I've seen it on my There's not a body.
Oh, it's
in the
not.
Fire.
It's not a body in the fire.
It's not it's just a fire.
Oh, it's like Burning Man. I mean,
yeah, it can be used for many. I don't think they put a self-immolation emoji on social media. I don't think that would. Hopefully, Elon Musk won't let that happen on Twitter. This is what I mentioned. David Bacall, a prominent, I think we did this story, civil rights lawyer turned environmental advocate, set himself on fire in Prospect Park in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
Same reason in 2018 to protest climate change.
Wow. And he died. Anybody sell their car? Anybody turn down the air conditioning in their house?
Another guy did this in front of the White House in 2019, but they don't have a motive in the case. Arnav Gupta. Oh, I remember that name too, Arnav Gupta. But it doesn't. We never found out why.
They're heating the planet. That's what they're doing.
All right, more coming up, including you're going to know this story as soon as you hear it. But we got to cover it next.
Johnny Kent, KFI.
Let's do this story. You've heard this before, although when we've covered this, it's usually happening in a place like San Francisco, but not this time. This is from NBC4's John Caddy's Climac, and it takes us to Woodland Hills to see. What do you know? A drugstore is closing down.
Now and day everywhere, it's getting bad.
Customers outside this Rite Aid at the corner of Ventura and Topanga in Woodland Hills say they'll miss this local staple when it closes for good on Monday.
It's been here forever, since I remembered.
It's a bad consequence for all the crime that's happening in the area, and it's a pity that it's gotten to this point.
Multiple employees tell NBC4 the decision comes from the higher-ups, a combination of higher rent and increased store thefts, leading to the store's ultimate demise. We checked with LAPD about recent crime nearby, and according to their crime mapping information, 107 incidents were reported nearby in just the last 6 months, ranging from vehicle thefts to burglary, robbery, and assaults.
This place has been around a long time, and it didn't used to be a problem.
In a statement to NBC4 from Rite Aid's corporate office, they don't mention the crime stats specifically, but say this store is one of 145 closures nationwide, and that a decision to close a store is one they take very seriously based on a variety of factors, including business strategy, lease and rent considerations, local business conditions and viability, and store performance.
It's bad as the economy is right now, and I mean the employees, you know, need their jobs, you know, everything is going up. It's bad.
Rite Aid says it's transferring prescriptions and employees to other stores. For some customers, they say the sign of these times are daunting.
People are already needing jobs from the COVID closures and things like this that, you know, happened over 2 years ago at this point. And now how many jobs are we losing because businesses are shutting down because you can go in and steal $900 worth of stuff and not be punished?
Again, Rite Aid confirms they are going to close this store on Monday, the 25th. They say for any customers who might be looking for their prescriptions, be sure you give them a call, and they're going to try to get them to you as close to their closest store to you as possible.
Ah, that last woman there, her name is Jessica Morelli. She cited Prop 47. Businesses are closing down because she can quit and steal $900 worth of stuff and not be punished. She's close, $950, but the message is getting out there. People are aware, although this stuff that they both said about jobs, from last I heard, there's plenty of jobs available for people.
That's Deborah's Rite Aid.
Yeah, it's a mess there. I'm terrified to go to that shopping center because there are so many people that are on drugs. A lot of homeless people. It's a mess. It's a bad situation around there.
Is it part of a strip mall?
Yeah. Yeah, there's restaurants.
I didn't think of Woodland Hills like that. Wow.
Yeah. There's many stores and restaurants in that area.
That's supposed to be a nice part of Los Angeles, Woodland Hills.
It's okay. It's nice.
Ventura and Topanga is what it is?
Well, you're there.
Well, I don't make
She's
the big
not at
bucks
Topanga,
like you,
but...
John.
What?
No, and I'm not at Ventura and Topanga, but that is my neck of the woods, and I've gone to restaurants there. I go to that Ralph's once in a while. There's also a Sprouts there, and it's a very seedy kind of area.
Sprouts.
I'm saddened. Is this Rite Aid where you get your anxiety drugs?
No. I do not take anxiety drugs, number one. And number two, I don't go to that Rite Aid.
Number one, you should. Number two.
There is a weed dispensary across the street from it, though.
I've been there.
Oh, there is. That's where you get the edibles?
She's been there.
I
like
the
that.
Edibles, yes.
Well, 107 incidents in just the last 6 months in that neighborhood, according to LAPD's crime mapping information. And I mean, the list was severe: vehicle thefts, burglary, robbery, and assaults.
Wow, that's bad.
It isn't like loitering, is what I'm saying.
No, that's aggressively violent.
That's
and scary.
Like every other day something happened, right?
Yeah. It looks that bad. I mean, there's all those characters wandering around and loitering and sleeping.
Yeah. Wow, there used to be a time that I would complain. This is going back maybe 10 years now, that the only things that were going up in my neighborhood were two things being built: banks and pharmacies. That's all they were putting in. But now the pharmacies are starting to fade away thanks to all the shoplifting. And well, maybe there's too many. You also reach a point where you've just you've overdone the expansion of the product, especially the way people can order things sent to their home, even drugs, everything. Can be sent to your
Well, and in the pharmacies now, they lock up a lot of products. I mean, the CVS I go to near my house is incredibly irritating because so much ordinary stuff is locked up, and at the same time, they don't have employees that have a key to open the lock.
I wondered why they don't do this in the grocery stores much. I don't see anything locked up in grocery stores, even though there's things that can be considered valuable. But you're right, pharmacies do this a lot. I guess because it's easy in and easy out when it comes to pharmacies. That's where those people go to rip off places.
Yeah, I don't
They're
know.
Smaller, you just run right in and grab whatever you think.
I mean, there's security guards at the two grocery stores I go to now.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. For multiple reasons.
Talked about her neighborhood. Look at yours.
Oh, they chase. Yeah, but she lives in a nicer neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, she does.
No.
I'm afraid you have Kamala Harris walking around your neighborhood.
Well, yeah, there you go. See?
Do I see more security guards in stores than I used to?
Well, they got them for the homeless, partly, and then they got them to enforce the mask mandate.
Right.
And that's when those guards became 24 hours and they got aggressive and obnoxious. And that's remember we people were standing in line at grocery stores because they were controlling the inflow. You couldn't have too many people at any one time.
Oh yeah, but that's the whole COVID thing, right?
That was a COVID thing. But I'm saying they also have been hired more frequently to deal with vagrants in the parking lot, or vagrants walking into the store and fouling the produce.
Yeah, I was in L.A. the other day, and it was actually early, and I was walking down the street. This is kind of in the Fairfax district, and I noticed like a couple of big security guards outside a place. And of course, when I walked by and looked up, it was MedMen. Medical marijuana.
Yeah. No, it's full employment for shaven-headed thick necks.
For security?
For security, yeah. Yeah, ever see those? They got big bald heads, and they have like
Well, you
these,
want them to look these, intimidating. If you're going to hire security, you're not going to hire a little weenie.
And they have thick, fat necks, and there's like ripples of fat in the back of their necks.
You're going to have Deborah Mark running around with a little taser.
No. Oh, yeah, I'd scare a lot of people.
Stop now!
Right. Hold it right there.
You come back.
Get over
here. We're sorry about your neighborhood, Deborah Mark, losing a right.
It's really gone to hell, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's not gone to hell. It's just that particular shopping center. It didn't surprise me when this happened.
That's an odd spot because that's not bordering on anything bad.
I know.
It starts getting
so
kind of rural beyond that.
I know. I don't understand it. I really don't. There's a lot of creepy people hanging out around there.
Hmm.
All right, coming up after 3 o'clock, you wouldn't think this would be controversial, but, when the El Segundo Times covers it, it has to be. Thousands of cameras are watching you in Beverly Hills. They're adding even more cameras. And do you know, you dig into this story and you find out surveillance cameras apparently are racist. It's terrible. All right, all this is coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. And Americans eating more meat than 5 years ago. The end of veganism, question mark?
What?
I saw the full story over the weekend. By the way, the meat numbers actually dropped significantly in the country during the 90s. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow, it's making a comeback.
But they've come back to life in the last 5 years.
There you go. People have had enough of that.
Deborah Mark's people did have an impact a couple of decades ago. I didn't realize how much. Because remember, in the 50s, that's all anybody ate. In the 60s, 70s, there wasn't as much being thrown about
but everybody's tired of it. You got to have a real meal.
You can't say everybody because that's not.
It says the end of veganism? Question mark.
Oh, I'm still going to be a vegan.
It could be illegal.
No, I don't think so, Deborah. I think you're right. You're going to stay around. Because when I saw that story, I was like, wow, there was a drive. Now people are coming back to, but there's always going to be a significant. Is it 2% of the vegans?
It's some little tiny insignificant amount.
But there's a lot of people who are hybrids. I run into a lot of people that, yes. I'm not a vegan, I'm not a vegetarian, but I just eat meat like once a month.
So, pescatarian.
Pescatarian.
Yeah, you eat fish.
Ooh. That would be my last choice. I'd rather eat. And did I hear today that there was some poisoned lentils at one of the supermarkets, Deborah?
No.
What?
Oh, look at that.
It's a recall. It's called Dahl, D-A-L.
Oh, I love Dahl.
Yeah?
Yeah, you should look up the story because I think they're recalling some Dahl at one of the...
look at that.
Whole Foods, I don't want to besmirch. It's one of those.
You can't trust lentils.
Well, speaking of Deborah Marks, she made another appearance at another NBA playoff game. This just has to stop. As long as the Minnesota Timberwolves are in the playoffs, these women will storm the court over the dead chickens. That's it. That's the story right there.
So the owner owns a chicken company.
Yes.
Right. And there was a bird flu outbreak, and so they're mass executing the chickens.
Yes. His name is Glenn Taylor. And this started with the play-in game a couple of weeks ago, and then the rounds last weekend. The first woman tried to glue her hands to the court. The second woman chained herself to the backboard pole. This one really creative. She actually had herself almost courtside. She was in the second row, and she had, an outfit that sort of looked like she was a referee. It was kind of a striped kind of a shirt, black and gray color or something. There's a picture of her. Her name is Sasha Zemel. We have some audio of this happening at the game from the Timberwolves. I think it was the same guys we played last time, the Timberwolves broadcasters, Dave Benz and Jim Peterson for Bally Sports North.
Beats Beverly, pounds underneath. What's going on here? Somebody's run onto the floor. Beverly goes into the front row on the other.
What's wrong with these people?
What's wrong with these people?
And there's somebody else there who's trying to go
going after Taylor.
They're going after.
These people are insane.
Yeah.
Thankfully, everybody, aside from the people protesting, appear to be okay.
She was tackled. That's why they were all worked up there. She's from St. Louis, Sasha Zemel. It's the group Direct Action Everywhere. Now, she wears a makeshift referee jersey with the number 5.3 on the back. What do you think that means?
I don't know.
5.3 million chickens killed.
Oh, I see.
After the bird flu outbreak at this company called Rembrandt Enterprises.
What's next? Is somebody going to set themselves on fire at midcourt?
That's what I was just thinking. That guy that just did the Supreme Court.
Like self-immolation.
These women have to step up the way he did.
That's right. That guy self-immolated.
Right,
these two
the
or what?
You're
dressing up as referees and running on the court? Come on. That's minor league.
Especially if you're claiming the chickens were roasted.
That's right. You got to roast yourself.
Oh. She appears to be wearing a jacket. And then, according to the animal rights group, this is what they said. She had a whistle. She attempted to whistle to stop play as she approached this man, Taylor, in his courtside seat to issue a technical foul and ejection. You get it?
Well,
and by the way, he's the wealthiest person in Minnesota.
She jumped over him.
Oh, she did.
She jumped over Taylor.
Yeah, she was in the second row behind him.
Yeah. And then blew the whistle on him.
Got the chance to blow the whistle on him.
She got tackled. Glenn Taylor roasts animals alive.
He never got the technical foul for mass roasting chickens.
No, he did not get the technical foul.
Deborah, did you hear that announcer? Mm-hmm. What did he say? These people are insane.
I heard.
Uh-huh. All right.
She doesn't believe in this type of protest.
I don't, but I understand it. I wouldn't do it. I would do other things.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm watching you on the screen here. I don't want to see you go up in flames one day.
These people are insane.
I guess they're hoping if just one person watching this broadcast,
what are they going to do?
Goes online to get involved to stop this man from roasting chickens. It'll be worth it.
Aren't they all dead by now?
I'm sure.
Yeah, but he'll do this again next time, I think, is their point.
Uh-huh. Well, what are you supposed to do with millions of sick chickens? Like, what's the market for that?
You send them to you put them in the desert with the homeless. That's your answer to everything.
Well, let the homeless eat the sick chickens then.
It's weird that. So I'm guessing as long as the Timberwolves are still in the playoffs, these people keep showing up to try to disrupt the game because of the owner. I can't see anything.
Nah, there's nothing you really can do to stop it.
And by the way, she waited until there was 10:44 left in the third quarter, so past the halftime, before she decided to bolt from the second row and try to eject him with it and give him a technical foul. All right, when we come back, you know, Beverly Hills doesn't put up with what a lot of Los Angeles puts up with. And when it comes to this latest horrible couple of years of crime we've had, they've decided one thing they're going to do is add security cameras, surveillance cameras, to keep an eye on things. You wouldn't think this would be controversial, but if you're a writer for the El Segundo Times, it is.
Oh,
what about privacy? What about racism? These are the issues we need to confront.
The woke heads are upset. So, in fact, what's the name of the woke head for this story? Libor Janney.
That's a new name.
What is that? Libor Janney.
It's a guy. Long, long article about them doing this, and they're going to add more security cameras.
He's new. He joined the Times in 2022. He covered public safety for the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. Oh, that's a big woke hole city, too. That's where all the trouble started.
All right, it's coming up next.
John and Ken, KFI. Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.